You're not swinging with Big Yawn, no, come back.
Time to turn the music up and go swing.
Live from the Dash, Swing with Big Yawn Podcast, episode 2 in the mix. Right back at it, man. That was a player intro I had created for the show for now. You know what I'm talking about. You know what it is, man. We had such a great response from episode 1 that I had to bring back the man, the myth, the legend, my twin brother, ex-biggity Box.
Yeah. Was that Lil Wayne sound that? I was trying to take it back to like Lil Wayne circa Make It Rain with like Fat Joe. You know what I'm saying? So I was trying to go for that effect. But yeah, I'm happy to be here again.
Yeah, that kind of sucked. But hey, you can work on it. You know, you work on it and get good at it.
We will try, sir. We will try. Just the same way that you suck on grapefruits. We will see how that goes, man.
But you lucky they can't see you, so I could go in on your dog doofy looking ass. Skinny neck looking ass.
Destroy you with my piety right now. I'm chilling, playing video games at this moment. I'm going to give a very Christian response. I am sitting so quietly nestled in my mother's bosom, reading a Bible. Carefully, deep in prayer. Just like somebody off of The Legend of Zelda. Yes, I'm not doing that at all. That's just, no. That's not what I'm doing.
All right, so look. That shit was corny as usual, but that's my brother. Y'all get to know him as time go on. But, man, we got a lot of ground to cover, man. You know, it's a lot of things to talk about. And what better person to talk about him than with your open-minded ass and your research. I think this cat, the only boy that probably researched more than I do, you know. But I think that's just in our nature, man. You know what I'm talking about?
Most definitely. So what we got for tonight, man? What's on the menu?
All right, so we're going to kick it off like this, man. I kind of wanted to touch bases on it since we was talking about the Free Meek documentary, episode 1. Centoya Brown, are you familiar with her? They just released her from prison after 15 years, man, for you know how jacked up the justice system is, man. They had that girl locked down 15 years because she killed the cat that was that was raping her and shit, man. You know, she was a prostitute or something to that extent. I gotta look it up while we sitting here. But she ended up killing him because he was raping her and stuff, and she got sentenced and served 15 years. She was just released recently, man. Let me pull up them dates and stuff. What you think about that while I'm looking that up?
Well, just the way that you explained it to me, let me give some context to this, because though I don't share your body mass, I do share your laziness from time to time. And you sent me the text message to look her up, and I just never got around to it, and I needed to. But just from the, you know, the little that you just shared with me right now, I actually went back and I started watching that Meek Mill, you know, documentary, and it was just... It was captivating. Like, it was really captivating, man. That was a detail in that documentary, and I cannot think of what it was, man. I think, man, it was in terms of how he was talking about, like, him, you know, rapping, and he got his feelings hurt, man, because he went up against a cat that was, like, sharper than him in vocabulary and all the other stuff. Anyway, that's just some things that stood out to me in the documentary, man. But this lady sharing it, it's kind of Meek Mill's, like, plight, you know. Basically, I'm feeling like, you know, if Meek can definitely get out of it, you know, she can have that same sort of hope. So that's really it. What else you got for me in terms of this soul situation right now?
Right quick, while we're speaking on Meek, real quick, it's funny that you mentioned him, because today he's officially done with jail for good. He pled guilty. Woo! He pled guilty to a misdemeanor gun charge, and he's officially done. They got rid of that one judge, brought in another one. They saw how stupid it was. It's over now. Good looking for that cat. I hope he got his mind right. So I don't think nothing else gonna happen, you know what I'm talking about, but that's good shit, you know what I'm talking about. But back to Santoya Brown, okay. So as I'm looking, Santoya Brown was convicted in 2006 for murdering the dude was a real estate agent. That's how them pervs come though, man. Them pervs be everyday people, man. You know what I'm saying? The crazy thing is though, she was 14 years old at the time. 14, dog. She murdered the man. He was raping her. You know what I'm saying? Everything. And she got sentenced. You know what I'm saying? That shit crazy, man. This system, the system wants you, it's what's fucked up. The system wants you to have remorse when you commit a crime. You know what I'm talking about? Like, if you really did that, like say, Minji, you go rob a bank and you kill three innocent people, the court wants you to have remorse for that. Or, you know, they going to throw the book at you regardless. But if you don't show no remorse, they really going to hate you. But the courts don't show no remorse for shit like this. Man, this girl was a 14-year-old girl that killed a nigga that was trying to rape her or whatever he was doing. The man was 43.
This is actually a real Me Too situation. You know, this is a legitimate Me Too, like, this is what really happens, you know. But I think with the whole Me Too, man, there's still an underlying racial undercurrent where I think there's a little bit of white supremacy that still goes on in there with white women, where they just, because if this was possibly like a Caucasian woman, you know what I'm saying, like, this probably would have been a whole different story.
She would have been hailed as a hero.
But wait, hold on. I don't know if I can even say that, to be honest with you, because I don't, man, you know, that's been this whole, like, this litany of, like, Caucasian women who are teachers. You know, I come from the public education teacher realm who just, you know, are getting caught having sex with these underage boys, and they're, you know, they're getting the books thrown at them, but the books that they're getting thrown at are, like, little three-chapter books, you know what I'm saying?
Facts.
The time that they're actually serving it is
big facts.
Short, you know what I'm saying? So where this lady here, she got a whole, like, you know, a whole novel, a whole 100,000-word novel thrown at her. And, you know, it's a blessing that she got freed early. So that's just good stuff, man.
Yeah,
well, not freed early, but did she get freed early?
Well, she served 15 years, you know.
Okay, so yeah.
Shit, she 31 now, you know what I'm talking about?
Man.
So, shit, she... It's not right. You know what I'm saying? It's just not right. Like, 43-year-old, 14-year-old, she managed to kill a guy. And you serving all this time, you know. Like, and then, you know, she didn't even get the opportunity at juvenile life or none of that. Like, she went straight into adult prison for that. Like, it's just weird, man. Like, you know, the game's so fucking wicked, it's annoying sometimes, you know.
I know you're mainly, you know, you're passionate about just the, like, African American injustices, you know, and this actual whole situation should be really celebrated as a woman who overcame, that was really trying to block a sick, twisted guy that was trying to force himself upon her. You know, this is a real Me Too situation where that hashtag is, of course, just getting abused just so, you know, a lot of women could just get what they want. And it's just, it's wicked, man. It's so wicked.
It is definitely wicked. Now, I agree with you, man. Like, you know, I'm strong on African-American anything. You know that. You know me better than anybody. But, like, in this instant, man, I have no tolerance for these sick fucks out here, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have no pity that she killed that dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, he got what he deserved, basically. The beautiful thing about this is that Lifetime didn't acquire the rights to her story, but Netflix did. So we'll get a decent look at the whole situation versus Lifetime, who probably would have, you know, looked for some female rapper or something and tried to hide a player or something. You know, they documentaries be 50-50, man. Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. But I'm just glad Netflix acquired the rights to her story, because we'll get a decent look. You know what I'm talking about? But,
right, yep.
Yeah, man, I had to see what you thought about that, man, because that bothered me. You know that she spent so long in jail, and you know the thing about it is, like I said, it happened 06, 07 when all this went down. The beautiful thing is, this is where the power of social media comes in. Because without social media, man, 99% of us wouldn't even heard this story. You know, it was a story that started circulating on social media. You know what I'm saying? And that's why social media, a lot of people try to condemn social media because it can be wild at times. But social media is fun as hell and it's informative. You know what I'm saying? Like, you find out so much because of social media. I fucking love social media, me. You know what I'm saying?
I have my channels, you know.
Yeah, man, you have had plenty of arguments about it, man. But I love this shit. Like, it's a beautiful thing, you know.
Let me see, man. So I'm active on. Let me see. I don't. A lot of people would throw YouTube in the social media stratosphere, but that's more of a search engine just for like video content, you know. So, but I guess I would say, you know, I'm more a YouTuber, more Facebook. I think those are really the only two. And LinkedIn, I'm starting to become more and more active on LinkedIn. Like, I'm starting to check that a lot more than I am my Facebook, you know, because it's just, I don't know, it's just all for the professional acquisitions and that sort of thing. So I'm enjoying that a little bit more than just being on Facebook and that sort, man. So,
hey, it's just all about finding what works for you and does good for you, you know, and your leisure and all that, man. For a lot of us though, that happens to be social media. See me, I'm learning to master social media. You know, even when me and you be talking, and I be telling you some shit that I got going on or then did, you be like, damn, I ain't even think about that or pay attention through social media. You know what I'm saying? Because
I agree with that. I'm trying to think, man. Was there anything interesting? Like, there's always something interesting on Facebook that I see, but nothing that just really, you know, I wanted to bring attention to on this podcast right now. But going back, though, and speaking on the Centoya Brown thing for a second, I know that, you know, just with the, like, racial injustices that's going on right now, that's where I wanted to get at. So with the racial injustices, you see this, like, not only do we have the racism that's going on, but underneath that too, we have these gender battles, which I actually was thinking about today. All right, is this worse than the racial stuff that we was already facing as, you know, black people? You know, we have like men versus women. I almost don't even know, like, what's even more detrimental, you know, that or the actual just the racism that we've just been facing. Because what we see what's going on right now is that you have a separation of women and men, and men don't want to deal with women because women are starting to just use these deceptive tactics to really get what they want. And I call it the Eve Central, because if you look into the beginning of Genesis when Eve share with Adam, you know what I'm saying? It was just Satan appealed to her most innermost desires when she, you know, took her to fruit, you know, and that's why I call it the Eve syndrome, just that part right there.
Yo,
you know, her deceiving, that's a whole other topic.
And hold that thought, because
she deceived Adam or not. Not even the case at all, but I call it the Eve syndrome, where her desires, you know, a woman has very strong desires, and when she's like, you know, everybody has desires,
he on the road.
It's just something different, you know, with a woman that, you know, she'll do whatever she actually can in order to get those desires met, in order to, and it's even getting worse with the way that society is just kind of just telling, you know, women that you don't need a man. You can be independent. Go ahead. My bad.
Hold that thought. That is episode 4. Hold that thought, because I got a whole episode about that. And I like that title, Gender Battles. We're gonna leave that title. So we won't get into that, because that's a whole episode in itself. I know. I could tell. And that's a whole episode in itself. So we definitely come back at episode 4 with that. I'll bring you and Junior on for that episode, and we can go all in. I might need to find a female too, but moving on though, I like that perspective of Eve that you gave, man, which is why I can't wait for that episode, because I do want to hear more from that. You know, I don't want you to get too Christianity on me, on the episode because I'm gonna be cussing. You know what I'm talking about? And you know how it's gonna be live. So, but I do want to hear more on that perspective, man. But now we're back to Centoya Brown or whatever, man. Do you feel like she will be able to shake back and, you know, and get in tune with what the world is now versus what it was when she was 14 in 2006?
Oh, that's another good point that Kyle was just actually thinking about that. Like, is it now that she's free, how would the outside world really treat her? Would it have been better had she just actually stayed locked up, you know? Because we can actually see that the sort of like the societal like brutality of the way people are being treated, talked about, taunted, humiliated, you know. I think Tupac, I always go back to what Tupac said in an interview with that Vibe interview that anybody could check out online. Like, you know, when he thought he was getting away from the dudes in the streets and he got into Hollywood, he got into the music industry, he said that the people in the industry are worse than the dudes in the streets. You know, at least when you're in prison, you kind of had a structure to set up this expectation. You know what you're getting. You know dudes are trying to already, like, stab you in the back and that sort of thing. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, but how should I say? That sort of facing can be long-term. You know what I'm saying? But it could be long-term to you psychologically. When you're out here, not only can it be, you know, detrimental to your psychological well-being for the long term, but everybody else, your family, everybody else around you as well and stuff. You know, people may be asking, what do you mean? When you're in jail, you're away from your family. That's going to have a psychological toll. That's not necessarily what I'm getting at. It's just a difference, you know.
So most
if you're
definitely.
In jail, if you're in prison, you kind of know what you're at least getting. You know what I'm saying? And you at least have some sort of structure, some sort of like expectation, I should say. When you get out here, man, you know, you don't know if you date a girl now, you know, she's smiling in your face. Y'all have a good time. You go to the movies, it's dark. And y'all leave. Y'all don't even kiss each other goodnight. Y'all wave goodbye. The next morning, you get a knock on your door. Boom, 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 boom. Like, police open up. Like, you improperly fondled a girl. We all went to the movies. She said that you touched her in the dark when she didn't ask you to. You know, it gets that. That's what I'm talking about. Like, that seems like such a small thing, but you just don't know what you're getting from people out here. You know, and while you got all these people proclaiming, all these SJ warriors proclaiming that they for you, they really not. You know, are they really going to give this woman the support that she needs? I don't know. Only time will tell. But we'll see.
Right, right, right. I can agree to that. Well, I pray for the best for her. Hope everything works out, man. I think I'm looking up some facts about her situation. It appears she got engaged while she was in jail. And I don't know if she's married yet or they're going to follow through or whatever. I haven't really researched it. But from the sounds of it, man, it may work, man. You know, she should get back on track, man. You know, so. But moving right along, man, you know, continuing to speak on what we see on social media and everything, man. You know what's becoming a trend that I love right now, and I hope, and it's one of the few trends that I want to stay trending forever, is black mental health.
Okay, speak on that.
Now, if you notice, man, in my recent, I make a few posts here and there about, you know, mental health, and you know, it's so my saying, you know, my saying and our trademark is it's okay to say I'm not okay, right. And you know, I'm starting to see more and more posts from people, and I have people that inbox me and stuff or encourage me and stuff. I just try to give them words on, you know, how I will handle things and stuff like that, man. We are dealing with more stuff than ever now, and I feel like it's things that's catching up with us that we've been had to deal with, but we kind of plastered it away because of the era and the generation we grew up in. It was like before social media, and things of that nature, it was like a, it was more so quote unquote a fun time for us. So, you know, it was things that was going on around us and stuff that we kind of put on the back burner. And now that we all up in age and we getting settled in our lifestyles and livelihoods and things of that nature, those things are catching up and even hunting some of us. As for me, you know, me and you talking stuff, you know what I'm dealing with and stuff, my personal battles and things like that. So, you know, why do you think that? What is your opinion? I just gave you a kind of overview of what I think. What is your opinion or your view on why you think that us as black people don't take mental health serious like we should?
I think it's because of pride. A lot of it has to do with pride. The whole fear of being able to say, like, I'm not really okay and being talked about. I think that even though it's becoming more and more open and people are being more open-minded about it, I listen to Joe Budden podcast a lot. I've been following Joe Budden since 08. I just kind of knew he was going to be like,
facts. Joe Budden is his man.
Charisma. But anyway, that's besides the point. He's always talking about like mental health and that being like, you know, a serious thing and stuff, you know. But I really just think that it's because people aren't going to, I think we're really close to the test in terms of how we feel and letting people in on that. That's just the bottom line to it, man. You know, people don't want to own up to others in terms of like how they're actually feeling and being open, you know. And you have to be very careful with who you open yourself up to anyway nowadays, man, because, you know, people you think you may think have your best interests at heart, they really just don't. So you just have to be careful, man.
Listen, that's one of the things, that's one of the main pieces of advice I give people, like opening up, because, you know, you'll have your friends and stuff when they find out you're going through something. Why you didn't tell me? I could have told you, but you're not going to give me the help that I need, or the advice I need, or the instructions I need to make it better or help me get better. Most of our friends and family, when we going through things, they just want to know to be nosy and talk about it, you know. So I don't even advocate no more to, when you going through something, I advocate for you to talk to your friends and family if you just need to talk to somebody, you know, and let something off your chest to make you feel better. Talk to your friends and family then. But I am an advocate for seeking professional help now, especially when it's something serious with you, man. If you're really dealing with depressions and anxieties and panics and, you know, all those serious mental illnesses and things like that, seek professional help, man. It is nothing that your friends and family can tell you or help you with besides either being an honest listening ear, or if, you know, feeling like you can talk to them in confidence. But at least when you seek professional help, you are covered by their style of no snitching. You know, you are covered by their style of no snitching, which is they can't talk about your stuff to anybody. You know what I'm saying? So at least you know you're protected, and you can go in there and tell them some of your deepest things that have you in a dark place and possibly get the help that you're looking for, or even to the extent of if you need medicines or things of that nature, which I don't really recommend. I don't like medicine, but, you know, to each his own. But I'm stern on not talking to your friends and family about your darkest stuff. You can talk to them, but don't give them your darkest stuff, because that can be bad for you, especially if they just being nosy and want to spread your gospel to everybody and stuff like that. That can be dangerous. That's a dangerous game, because if you already dealing with some serious stuff and you talk to your family and friends, and they go back and tell people and talk about it, puts you in an even darker place, because now you face a form of embarrassment, and, you know, you face a form of pity and all kind of stuff, you know, anger, you know, sadness, all that comes over you when you find out that people that you didn't want to know about your deepest, darkest feelings and secrets and things of that nature. Right.
Right. I would actually suggest just finding a good trusted brother or sister, you know what I'm saying? For me, I actually, you know, just stay prayerful and I just pay attention to, you know, people, you know, galore puts around me. You know what I'm saying? I kind of see how my spirit feels about that person. I got a, you know, a couple of people that, you know, I can like share those intimate things with, you know what I'm saying? Without feeling like I'm going to be talked about or it be used later. You know what I'm saying? I actually been in that point where I had a ex-girlfriend, man, like, you know, this was back in like 07 and, you know, we shared like things about each other, you know what I'm saying, thinking that we could trust each other. But to be honest with you, we used it against each other when things started turning sour. You know what I'm saying? Like, I took the information that she gave me and tried to turn it into a dagger and make her stab her in the heart with it because she took the information I gave her and tried to do the same thing, you know, sliced it on the cutting board, you know, and tried to stab me several times with that piece of information, even out in public, you know, and that was, you know, it was horrible. I was like, I'll never do that again, you know, and that's called betraying somebody's trust, you know what right. I'm saying? And when you gain somebody's trust, man, it's more precious and more valuable than any dollar amount. You know, I got secrets that are stored in me that's going to die, that's going to come with me to my grave.
So, right. I think we all do.
That's just how it is. You know what I'm saying? So I don't care to share those things with people. And if anybody's decided to confide some things into you, you have to hold it to the chest then because they've obviously trusted you with it, especially if they decided to give you that information when you didn't even ask for it. And that speaks volumes about you when people can actually do that. When they could like look at you and just start spilling out their guts. You know what I'm saying? And I cherish that, man. I recognize it. You know, I've grown enough spiritually to know that you don't sit up here and just trash somebody's personal information, beloved information like that. You know, so when people aren't mentally stable and a lot of that mental instability is just emotional instability that just reached into, you know, your psyche and it's just messed up in a way that you're thinking because now the way that you think and your, you know, mess of emotions is just causing a lot of mental instability. And I'm not a psychologist to sit up here and make such an analysis, but a lot of the times is what it is, you know. But for serious psychiatric health, then yeah, you should seek therapy. Dude, Charlamagne Tha God is always talking about, you know, he goes to therapy every single day, man. Like, if we can afford it, we need to like seek therapy and seek that sort of help. You know what I'm saying? I thought myself sometimes often to just go ahead and get, you know, professional help just to have somebody that I could talk to that I know is going to stay in the little lockbox. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
That's just my thoughts on mental health, man. But I will say this too, man. Like, mental health is, you know, I know you say you're serious about it, but man, really, it just became so trendy. You know what I'm saying? And now people just use it as an excuse just to do some of the dumbest stuff.
I agree.
Mental health into a fad, man.
I agree. And I'm 50-50 about that because I want it to be a trend, a fad, long as it's being talked about. That's my biggest thing. And see, I want it to stay up there. Like, I want it to be one of the top trending because it's so many people going through so much real shit that we tend to ignore because we may know that person always be a person that's always smiling, always laughing, always got the jokes, but deep down inside they dying. You know what I'm saying? And because they are known as that person, they try to keep that up and they just can't.
Right. Yep. I agree with that, man. I so agree with that. Yep, I so agree with that. But you know, like I said, at the end of the day, you can't afford a therapist. The best way that you can actually get it out really is just by talking it out. You know, and there's something very nurturing about when you're able to get something off your chest and talk it out. Like there's a medicine to that. So if nothing else, man, that's the basics I would say. Find somebody that you can, that you feel like you can trust. And if you're a Christian, find somebody, man, that the good Lord is leading you to confide that information into. You know what I'm saying? Because for me, my whole philosophy is like, you know, trust no man, trust the Lord, and then the Lord will reveal to you what man you should go to as a brother or as a sister and who you can, like, see, man. So that's the order. That's the way that I actually approach things. So, but, you know, if you're not, just find somebody that you know, you just feel comfortable with. Look, that's just the bottom line.
Man, listen, I'm here to tell you from experience, man. I've been going to therapy. I don't know if you know, I got Mental Health Mondays that I advocate on my Snapchat if you follow me. But I go to therapy like clockwork. I've been going since December when I lost that election. I've been going every Monday. See, I needed help. And I knew it. You know what I'm saying? It was like, I knew it. And me and you have discussed some of the issues that I talk about in therapy. But, you know, just to go in there with that comfort of knowing that I haven't talked to, it's only a handful of y'all that I've talked to, and you know who you are, so I won't have to say no names. But I haven't heard none of what I've talked about with the people that I've entrusted nowhere, you know. And I don't know if you remember, man, I remember when you came down, it wasn't for our birthday this year. I think it was Thanksgiving last year. Did you come? It was one of those times.
I can't remember
which visit it was, but me and you, we rode around and we just talked. We hadn't talked in like this in a long time, and you told me some stuff and I told you some stuff, and we were just both like, wow, man, who would ever know that I was thinking the way I was thinking, or you was thinking the way that you was thinking. But what was crazy was we was thinking on the same level. That's what was scary. I don't know if you remember that.
Man, I think I do recall that conversation we had, man. But the time that we had it, I guess, doesn't really matter. I guess it's the fact that we just had it.
Yeah, so, yeah, most definitely.
I do remember us having a conversation, you know, to that degree.
And it was just like, it was a wild factor to it because, you know, you even said it yourself when I told you the stuff that I was dealing with. You was like, I can't believe that you would be going through something like that because you the happy-go-lucky guy. And then I told you that I can't believe that you had the thoughts that you had or was going through what you was going through because of your faith. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, it was just a wild factor in that conversation. But the beauty of it was we were able to have it, like you said. A lot of people ain't getting them opportunities to get that stuff off their chest. And it's sad to say, man, a lot of cats is walking, ticking time bombs. You know what I'm saying? It's walking, ticking time bombs because, you know, they showing signs. They asking silently for help. People are ignoring it. You know, that's why I made a post about this one day, and it got quite a few shares, man, mainly from the women. But I guess that's like you say, it was more towards our men because they the ones you hear saying it more. But it was a few men that shared it. But it like you say, man, I guess you can sense that pride thing with them. They probably looking at me tripping like, oh, hell, here you go talking about mental health and shit like that. But I made a post about, you know, telling people to when they do try to talk to you, or they telling you, or you can sense something wrong with you and you ask them what's wrong, and they tell you, and you your rebuttals and shit is you say shit like man up, or you know what I'm saying, suck it up, you know, shit like that, man. Don't nobody want to hear that shit when they going through some real shit. You know what I'm saying? Don't nobody want to hear that. If I come to you and I tell you that I'm depressed because of such and such, such and such, such and such, and you tell me to suck it up, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to tell you to suck my dick. You know what I'm saying? And I got to say it like that because I get upset thinking about it the more that I study mental health and everything and the seriousness of it and the videos that I watch and stuff. There's no room for shit like that, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. It's just not. It's not. It's not. It's no room for it. And it's like, I had a guy, one of my partners on there, he commented about on it, you know, and he was like, you know, his mom used to tell him man up because, you know, she was getting him ready for the world. And I understand it from that aspect. So it's definitely not talked about that because it is some situations where a man needs to man up. But their mental health is definitely not one of them.
Yeah, no, it's not, man. And we do still give that same sort of like response, you know, suck it up and think that we should just like hide it. But men are, you know, emotional beings just as much as women are. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we and saying that we have emotions too. You know, our emotions are no different. We're just told that we should manage. We should be able to manage our emotions a little bit differently, if not better than a lot of women. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, more men are being open to just, you know, wearing their emotions on their sleeves and allowing women to see them, just people to just see them vulnerable, just so they'll know that they, like, look, I'm doing this because I need that help right now, you know, so that's the most important thing.
It's definitely the most important thing. So to my listeners and the people that's tuned in, man, if you need some help, man, seek help and talk to the right people. Get your mental in line, man. There's nothing more important in this world than your peace of mind. Get your mental in order, man. And I'm here. If you need to talk to me, talk to me. You don't even have to tell me what you're going through and your problem. I will give you those words of encouragement to help you get to where you need to be. I'll even give you some plugs and, you know, plug in to some people that you can talk to and get the help, man. So if you're listening, man, let's get our mental health together, people. You know, and that's coming from the heart right there. Like, mental health has become so serious to me. Like, I find myself getting emotional sometimes when I think about what people are going through and stuff. Cause see, I used to have a little pride thing that my brother talking about and stuff. But when it comes to crying and shit and letting it out, nah, nigga, I'm a step. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to cry. I'm going to let it out. I'm going to tell some of my partners, like, hey, man, this shit is fucked up for me right now. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't care. I'm going to let it out. And it's probably the best I felt in a few years, man. But I say that I'll get into it in another episode of things that I've dealt with because I don't mind. But mainly it's going to be in my book. Being fat ain't easy, but I've done it well. Dropping December 14th. Had to plug that in real quick. So, Xbox. Look here. Now, while we on the subject, which we'll probably close it out with the whole mental health thing. Do you feel like, man, like as far as mental goes, like the kids of this generation are the way they are? Because mentally, our generation hasn't done a good job of preparing them or raising them like we were raised by our parents and older generation. Because I'll say it's a lot of things that I disagree with, but from those older generations and stuff. But one thing I agree with is the upbringing. That goes from discipline to how we are raised to treat people, how we're raised to act out in public, and so on and so on. I agree with those. I agree with that. But our generation has done such a 50-50 job, I'll say, because I've seen some kids that are raised damn good, and I've seen some that are raised poorly, man. And it's mainly because our generation of parents want to be these kids' friends. They don't want to whoop them. They making this big ass issue about whooping kids and shit. Like, the shit is you wrong. You know, it's a difference. Like, they be trying to say it's physical abuse and it works on their mental and shit. It does. If you actually abusing a kid, it's a difference. You can whoop a kid and not be abusing them. Abusive motherfuckers are the ones that needs to be directed to. But whooping a kid that's doing fucked up shit, that's a good form of discipline. What are your thoughts on that, X? I'm gonna let you talk.
In terms of whooping, like, I know somebody gonna sit up here like, why he didn't say spare the rod, spoil the child like this. That scripture has actually nothing to do with, you know, whoopings per se. You know what I'm saying? And in terms of, like, you know, when it comes to whooping your kid, you know, I guess the safest thing, so I'm not incriminating anybody, is to, like, you know, each his own. Because they're okay, so there's an old school way of just disciplining your children, you know, and the question is gonna come up with, how you disciplining your kids and everything else? My kids get spankings and everything, and reason, and I try to, you know, it's important to actually talk, you know, and kind of explain, at least for my kids, you know, when they do something, you know what I'm saying, they get a slap on the thigh or whatnot, or, you know what I'm saying, they may actually get a take one of those little Walmart paddles and, you know, just like tap them on the hand or something like that, man, because really they receive correction very well. You know what I'm saying? So the extreme, like, you know, just beating and knocking the heck out of a man, you know, I don't personally believe that's necessary, but you know your child, you know how your child is. And the most important thing, word I'm going to inject into that is correction. You know, how well does your kids take correction? If you're just whooping them and you're not following up with any teaching, any sort of standard setting, so they can follow that standard and they know what the expectation is going to be, so that the next time they won't actually do it, you're going to still have these same behaviors persist even when you do whoop them. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to give an answer to a one size fits all approach. And I know the audience will probably be salivating just probably hear how I actually spank. But really, you know what I'm saying? I gave them somewhat of an answer. But the biggest thing is correction. You know what I'm saying? Like, how well do your kids take correction? How long does it take for them to get that behavior corrected? You know, and if you just have children that are just like super hard hit or whatnot, you may have to take certain physical measures in order to get them to actually see that, oh, this isn't cool. You know what I'm saying? This ain't cool at all. And actually, you know what? Sometimes what's worse is just letting the kids just be bored. You know, just, man, just like taking everything away from them. Let them like be in a wall, like nothing. Like it dry. That's worse than even getting physically touched. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it would be simple. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I was teaching technology, you know, I would just take away the technology. And it's just because there's this zombification that occurs with the technology, they go crazy. Take away their cell phone, man. You'll see a whole different actually like behavior come out. You know what I'm saying? And some kids will just probably need to follow that up when you do take technology away from them because you're trying to get the behavior corrected. They'll probably follow up with some sort of wrath, but you can knock that out into next week too. Or, you know, just whatever you just need to do. Correction is going to be the word of the day, kids. Listen to Uncle Deshaun. Today's word is correction. So measure how, you know, long it takes your kids to actually get corrected on the behavior. That's really going to be my advice and insight on that.
That sounds good, man. Like I say, man, I'm so 50-50 about a lot of stuff, and this social media got me like this because I see people that are our age that are totally against whoopings and discipline, man. Like that, I feel like that they really feel like that talking, just talk to them. You know what I'm saying? Like that does the job, man. And if you got a kid, man, that's out here stealing, bullying, disrespectful to adults and all kind of shit, do you really just believe that just talking is gonna fix them, is gonna help them? I'm not even saying that whooping them is gonna help them, but man, a good ass whooping, man, sometimes, man, that's all a kid need, man, to get right, you know?
Yep, some of them, you know what I'm saying? But if you got a kid who's just constantly just being abused, you know what I'm saying, and they're just used to that's not abuses, and like whoopings aren't gonna really work because you guys do have parents that just take it too far. They're just mindlessly whooping a kid and there's no correction. There's no show of like love or measured, you know, correction in terms of like why they're following up this whooping, if that makes sense.
Right.
It's just like experiencing like violence in the house. Like if they get with somebody else and they're just getting whooped, then no, that's not really gonna be conducive.
Right. I agree. Like it's some now for parents mentally, you know, it got to the point their kid then got out so out of control and all they did do was whoop them, you know, for every little thing that mentally that's their first resort. And then, and like you say, they don't solve, get nothing solved, because you just whooping them with anger. You ain't even whooping them with love to teach. You know, why are you whooping? Why is this a whooping occurring? You know, this is what you don't need to do. I'm whooping you. I don't want to whoop you, but I have to in order, you know, to hopefully that you understand that what you did was wrong. A lot of parents not doing that when they whoop their kid. A lot of them just getting mad and whooping them, you know. And that's kind of when it turns into abuse, you know what I'm saying? Especially for the kid's mental. If the kid is all, every time they do something, they get an ass whooping. It's like, damn, I can't, you know, I just, all I did was get a Capri Sun out the icebox and I wasn't supposed to. You whoop me for that? You know what I'm saying? Like, mentally, that could fuck a kid up. But, you know, I'm 50-50, man. I just feel like our generation is on the line of doing poorly and raising the next generation because they trying so hard not to do what our parents and our grandparents and great-grandparents did to us. You know?
Right. I mean, if you're living just to avoid that, like, I'll be opposite, you know. Granted, you know, in some ways, the most people are motivated by that because they just wasn't a fan of that parenting style. I'm going to do better than my, like, mom and dad did. Like, and that's, you know, for the most part, that's commendable, you know. But if you're just, if that's your whole, like, you know, you're just the way your parent is because you just want to show up your parents and just do opposite, you know, and there's no real purpose behind it. That's the real driver that I don't know if I can get behind that either. You know what I'm saying? But each, again, each his own, you know, no matter how, because me actually being a parent, you know what I'm saying? No matter how bad somebody's like parenting style, I think it is, I would never, unless it's just abuse on a kid, I'll never intervene or laugh at a parent watching a mom struggle with their kids in public, man, or whatever the case may be. And single people actually, you know, and I'm not talking about you or whatnot, but single people actually have it worse to where they'll stick their nose in somebody's parenting efforts, you know what I'm saying, with the whole, like, how dare you? You know, like, you don't even have kids. You don't have children. You just gonna, like, just sit up here and poke your nose. And then when you volunteered yourself in this situation and you saying, like, oh, I can't handle this, then you just, you know, you leave that child, you know, often worse off than what they was before with the unruly parent. You know what I'm saying? When you taking upon yourself to think that, oh, I can parent better than you know, this person that's actually parenting a kid. You know what I'm saying? We don't really know that kid's, you know, personality type. We don't know where he's getting these genetics from. None of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, kid people all the time sit up here talk about, they'll, you know, oh, I just won't just have Diana for a day. Like, okay, all right. don't let her, like, cute little, like, looks, like, fool you or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? People just be talking, you know what I'm saying? They don't know what they, like, actually talking about. They just be, like, getting caught up and, you know what I'm saying? True. Just be getting caught up, but...
Most, yeah, definitely true.
Man, just won't make any comments on anybody's parenting style because I know what that's like, so...
Yeah, we gonna move on from that. I just wanted to get a little overview, what you may have thought of that, you know. That's just something I always think about. Just from, you know, my viewing, my observations on social media and things of that nature. So, man, we're gonna wrap it up with this topic right here because this has become a hot topic on social media too, man. Your thoughts on when people find out about death on Facebook before, you know, they found out from their own family member. Let's just say, Ninja, one of our close loved ones passes. And I don't call you and tell you about it, me or you don't know, but we get on Facebook and somebody then said RIP such and such, and we like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, wait a minute. You know, we done found out that our loved one died on Facebook before. That means the family doesn't even know that they're dead. What is your take on that? Because that's a hot topic. And people, and I agree with the people that's getting mad about it because I don't even see why when a serious death happens or things like that, that's people's first reaction to run to Facebook. You know, when grandma passed, I was so hurt. And fucked up about it, man. I didn't think about going on social media at all that day. You know what I'm saying? Right, so what makes you think that
Well, I mean, man, now this is one topic that you did text me in preparation for this podcast that I actually really took serious account to. So I know you mentioned death, but let me share this with you. So last year, on November 2018, there was this huge like fire. I was in Louisiana at the time. It was for Thanksgiving. I actually think that may have been the time we actually had it, because I was in Louisiana. I was going to the gym. I was usually your gym membership at the time.
And
I drove past, man. There was an 18-wheeler, man. I was just ablaze. It was a fresh fire. You know what I'm saying? I was just on the side of the road. And you know what my first instinct was? You know what I'm saying? Like, it should have been praying everybody was okay. But I was like, I naturally took out my phone and I recorded it. You know what I'm saying? But I never posted it, because you know what? After I got the recording and I was like, I looked and I examined myself and I reflected. I was like, wait a second, well, why am I gonna share this? This is horrible. Like this 18-wheeler is on flames on I-20 going to Ruston. And I just took my phone out, you know, and I recorded it, and I was getting ready to just post it. You know what I'm saying? Why was I getting ready to post it? I can be upfront and say this, you know what I'm saying? Because my desire for attention, you know what I'm saying? Like that whole desire to get some sort of recognition, you know, for being the first one to capture some, reporting some news. You know what I'm saying? That's an adrenaline rush. You know, a lot of people won't be bold to say that, man, but when you're the first to like capture some news and you want to get credit for that and stick out your chest with your hands on your hips talking about, I got that first. You know, everybody's a journalist. Everybody wants to be first to something. You know what I'm saying? And claim that credit. But that's empty credentials. You being the first to something, like, that's not going to get you, that's not going to increase your bank account. You know what I'm saying? Like, God's not smiling on you. You know, like, matter of fact, you stole glory from him trying to be first. You know what I'm saying? And then reporting on something just to selfishly make yourself look good. That's all that is, man. And death, you know, anything bad, you know what I'm saying? Like, people want to get, you know, likes. And for a lot of people, they may have a strategy to it, like, fighting enough likes on this, and I get enough hearts and everything else, it'll boost my subscribers, and it'll boost this up, and then I'll get some brand deals, and I'll have people chasing me so I can get some deals and everything. Maybe people do have that some sort of strategy out thought, but I mean, for the most part, man, it's just people just wanting credit, you know, at its most basic form. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I just actually think about when people, you know, are showing death. Is actually disturbing. Before social media even got popular in 2010, on Media Takeout, I used to watch a lot of Media Takeout. I used to go on that site like religiously for celebrity gossip, and there was some footage, man, of this beat up. There was this gang war somewhere. This gang was jumping this dude, and they brutally beat him on that video, and they kicked him in his head. His head was dribbling. He wasn't showing any signs of life. Boy, that was the most disturbing thing. That bothered my spirit to its core, man. And then there was some more footage that a student showed me 2 years ago in 2017, I believe. Yeah, he showed it to me in 2017, that there was this Hispanic woman, and it was by the Mexican cartel, and they chopped off this woman's like head. They was just showing.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Brutally chopping her head off, like cutting it. You know what I'm saying? Until she lost her life, and that's another thing that just left my whole spirit like disturbed, man. So it's just, I don't know, man. I don't even know, like, when people just, you know, post the whole death on social media. It's not. I mean,
man.
It's not good, man.
It's funny that you mention it from that viewpoint, because that is my viewpoint too. Me being a media specialist and going to school for public relations and broadcasting and all that is the shit that we taught. You want to be the first, you know, because the first in those situations when something, you know, is newsworthy, the first is the one that's going to always get the credit, you know, going to always get all the publicity, the attention and all of that, man. But I just... I Me being first is for shit like when Snoop Dogg wear a Gremlin hoodie, I want to be the first to post that so everybody can come to me for that, for Grambition, whoop-de-whoop, shit like that. But, man, for Def, man, I just don't understand why you would want attention, you know, when somebody passes on and stuff like that, man. If you did, and I put it like this, if you are the first to know that a person that person dies, you're the first to know, then notify those people. You don't got to run the Facebook. You know, notify the people, especially because it clearly, in a lot of instances, if you're sharing that person died, it's a strong chance that you know some of the family or know the family. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if you find that out, like if one of my partners was to die, Lord forbid, you know what I'm saying? If Nick was to die, there's no way in hell I'm going to run the Facebook and post, man, my partner gone, you know what I'm saying, and Ma and Pop and all them follow me on there, and they don't know nothing about it, you know what I'm saying? It's just, I don't think like that, and I understand the frustration and the anger that I see with a lot of the people who are getting mad that they're finding out about deaths through Facebook before the family even knows and stuff like that.
And posting about death in that regard, I never really understood that either. Like, you know, it's hard for me to actually articulate right now, but I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, you know, you're just sitting up there just, you know, you're thinking about your friend that died, man. It's like, you're sitting there like, crap, man. Whoa, man. Oh, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if this was back in the 90s, you'll just keep all that to yourself, holding it in, walking around. But you just sitting there, like, now it's like 2019. You grab a phone, like, man, post about how I feel right now, man. Like, I don't get that either. You know what I'm saying? Like, my mom just died. You know, are you not grieving? Like, what you posted this like everything's normal right now. You know, like, that's how I be looking at people who post about that.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't even, when grandma passed, you know what I'm saying, unless I was, like, sharing her memory or something. But even with that, I'm like, why do people even need to, what benefit is that doing? That, I mean, that's not doing me any benefit. And most of the time, it's just usually for that person that's just posting it. You know, because if I'm a random bystander, well, not really, if you added me as a friend on Facebook or whatever, I'm not really a random bystander, but you added me, I don't really know you well. You know, I just scroll and I just see that you're like, you know, you're on here posting about your dead friend. Are you looking for like consolement over here? Are you looking for a shoulder rub, a pat on the back, a hey, are you okay? I mean, what are you looking for attention? Because that person that died is gone. They're not wanting you, or they're not up in heaven trying to get you some Oreos and some cookies for posting about them being gone right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, so that has to be for the person that posted it. But I digress. You know, that's just my thoughts on it entirely.
Facts, man. And I'm just, man, if y'all listening, man, I don't know who's letting people know. I just see the people that be mad about it. So I don't know who's doing it. But man, if you see a deaf man, make sure that the family knows before social media does, man. You know, just that's something that we can avoid. That's an issue that can be fixed quick, you know. If you get on and you see the family, if you see the family talking about it on social media, then more power to it, man. You know, express your condolences, your remorses and all that. But if you know and you get on there and you don't see none of them, man, just make sure the family is straight, man. Don't even worry about social media, man. Social media still be there for you to express your condolences after all the sadness has gotten out with the family and stuff, man. So let's try to fix that as an issue. Well, Minja, we were looking at an hour pretty good. You know what I'm talking about? I enjoyed this conversation with you tonight, man. I ain't going to hold you up. I know you got big things popping and shit. So, you know, this right here is the time. Plug in your works, whatever you need. You know what I'm talking about? Let the people know what you got going on, man.
Well, man, like that Tupac on All Eyes on Me song, I ain't hard to find. You know, I thought I'd just plug that in before I plug myself in. You can search for me, Google me, Deshaun Johnson. I'll probably lead to my LinkedIn profile. You know what I'm saying? You can find me on YouTube at DLJ Works, Is God For Against Me, for a lot of my Christian videos and exposés, a lot of my technology talks on DLJ Works. And yeah, man, that's, you know, I would much more so prefer people to, you know, take a look at my content and definitely give me some feedback, see what they actually are getting from it, if I'm providing value and ways I can improve, make sure that you are, people are getting fed value. So that's how people can actually find me. You can also find me on DLJWorks_tech on Twitter. Of course, the at symbol, and then at Deshaun L. Johnson or Deshaun 5 Johnson on Twitter. I don't know. You'll find me. You'll find me on either way. So,
all right. Well, there it is, people, man. My brother, he does websites. He does logos. I already told y'all when me and him get together, it's a dangerous thing. But here it is now. We taking over the podcast game. And God damn it, he is going down, man. Well, Xbox, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to say a few things after you hang up and stuff. But, man, you take it easy, man. And I'll be looking forward to you in a few episodes from now, man, when me, you, and Junior invade the airwaves.
All right, man. Well, I'm looking forward to that, man. We wake him up, get him on here. It's going to be a good episode.
Definitely going to be a classic.
They don't know why I'm laughing, but he'll get it when he hears it, so...
Definitely, man. Well, man, you take it easy, man. Kiss the kids for me. Tell all of them I love them. And I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Love you, boy. I'll talk to you in a little bit, man.
All right. Love you, too.
All right. Yeah.
All right. So there it is, man. That was a good one, man. Appreciate y'all tuning in, man. You know how to find me, man. Go to Facebook. Follow Swangin' with Big Young page. You know what I'm talking about? Follow my photography page and videography at Big Young Visuals on Facebook. On IG is Big_Young. On Twitter is Big_Young. Yeah, my Snapchat is For My Pleasure, so only a hand few will get that one. You know what I'm talking about? But y'all take it easy, man. And I'll see y'all in episode 3, man. And I'm out. Swangin' with Big Young, baby. It's going down.